This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
9:03 on this Saturday morning. Time now for Sports Saturday, brought to you by Prairie Farms Dairy in Carlinville. Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms. Mark Steeren, your State Farm Insurance agent in Litchfield. By Nancy's Pizza in Litchfield. Kurt's 24-hour heavy and light duty towing in Litchfield. By Bruce Webb Insurance in Farmersville and Raymond. And by DC Waste and Recycling. And on this Saturday morning, we join WSMI's Tim Mize.
David Jenkins, thank you very much. Cinco de Mayo.
This is true. That's Derby Day, too.
Derby Day.
Derby
Day. Exactly right. It's always a big day in America as they will run for the roses down there today in Kentucky. And the fastest 2 minutes in sports, I think, is what they call that. So
something like that.
Always entertaining. I'm not a big horse racing guy, but I do enjoy the Kentucky Derby. It's always been entertaining to me. Oh. And down the stretch they come.
I'll try to pull up some Derby information for this year's field. Let's see if I can't.
You ever gone to Fairmont Park?
Then St. Louis?
Yeah. Well,
no, that kind of answers your question.
That's fun down there. They're not open as much as they used to be, but that is a great horse racing track. And I would imagine they'll be hopping today.
Oh, yeah.
For Derby Day. Of course, Mike Shannon is a huge horse guy. Loves the Kentucky Derby. I think he usually goes to Fairmont Park, too, to watch the Derby.
Boy, there, Cardinals are at home today. Would he skip out on a Cardinals game?
Well, he's got time. The Derby doesn't run until 5:00.
I guess, yeah. I guess that's right. Yeah.
You'll probably get like a police escort from Busch Stadium to Fairmont, and he'll be there in plenty of time.
How about that? You can bet online for the Derby.
You can bet online for anything in 2018, David.
Online gambling.
That's dangerous.
I don't know how odds work. I don't know who would be considered the favorite here.
The lowest first number with a 1 behind him, or anybody that has a 2, like 7-2.
7-2. Okay. Justify. 7-2.
That is your favorite.
Okay. So then the next one, I guess, would be Audible, 6-1. Oh, no. I'm sorry. My Boy Jack, 5-1. So there are a couple horses for you.
So hopefully everyone will enjoy Derby Day today. David mentioned Cardinal Baseball, Cards and Cubs, 12:20, the live coverage this afternoon on AM 1540 and FM 106.9. We'll talk about the Cards and Cubs here as the show moves along. And, of course, Albert Pujols got his 3,000th career hit last night. And we will talk about that here as the morning progresses along as well. But Albert is in rarefied air now. Well, he's been in rarefied air basically since his rookie year, if you want to be honest about it, but Hank Aaron, Willie Mays, Alex Rodriguez, Albert Pujols. That's the list. 3,000 hits, 600 homers. That's it.
Yeah.
All the baseball players in the history of Major League Baseball. Those four. The only.
If he can find a way to get to 700, that list will shrink even more. 700 home runs. Because it would be him and Hank Aaron.
It becomes a list of two.
Yeah. How about that?
He's got a chance at it.
He does.
He's got to stay healthy.
He does. We'll see. He lost some weight to hopefully prolong his career, or at least be able to play out the contract.
And the interesting thing was on his build-up here to 3,000, basically every conversation you heard about it went back to his 11 years with the Cardinals and just how purely dominant he was. He's obviously not the same player now that he was for his 11 years in St. Louis, but that period of time, that decade plus one, I don't know if there's ever been a better stretch of baseball played consistently. Because keep in mind, like he's breaking down now. He's low average now. Basically become kind of the modern day big slugger where he'll hit a home run, but he's going to strike out. Not nearly as many strikeouts as you see across baseball now. But in his heyday, you couldn't get the man out. I mean, he would spit on a slider 2 inches off the plate. You know, he's hitting 330, crushing the home runs, driving in the runs. But the two things about Albert that always stood out to me, his clutchness, like big name players did not come up in big time spots like he did. Consistently with the game on the line, he came through. And then his base running and defense. You know, the last couple years with the Cardinals, we've talked about how the base running and the defense has just been putrid. Albert, while never fast, was always one of the best base runners in all of baseball because he had instincts.
No, that's exactly right. And we're seeing how much they miss his base running and his defense at first base, because since he's been gone, first base, well, Matt Adams did well defensively at first base, but, I mean, we've really missed a good defensive first baseman since he's been gone.
And that's exactly right. I don't think anybody took Albert for granted when he was in St. Louis. But when he's gone and the greatness isn't there, you certainly can appreciate it a little bit more, and that would roll right in to Yadi.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's hard to imagine a Cardinals team without Yadi behind the plate. It's going to happen someday, and when it does, it's going to be like, oh boy, Yadi's gone.
Yeah, the question.
What do we do now?
Yeah, the question will be who will be the starting catcher by then, because the Cardinals have two guys right now who are not that far apart in terms of development, who could take over. I mean, we know pretty much all about Carson Kelly. Some people are concerned about Carson Kelly's offense just because he's off to a slow start at AAA this year. I am not in particular, just because Yadi was a garbage hitter when he started in the major leagues. It took him a couple years to start hitting in the major leagues. The question is, how is he defense and calling a game? And apparently Carson Kelly is phenomenal when it comes to calling a game, handling a staff, and his defense.
True. But if you're going to be a garbage hitter, like you said with Yadi, and remember, Lurus has said, I don't care if he hits zero.
Mm-hmm.
He's my catcher. Because that's how good he was defensively from his major league debut. He's on the short list of the greatest defensive catchers of all times. Now, you can't just go by hardware and all that. You just kind of got to use the eye test. And it'll be an individual measurement for each individual person. But I've never seen a catcher better.
No. The one guy you could say would be Pudge Rodriguez.
That's the name I had in my mind. But if we're talking about a big game, clutch time moment, I'll take Yadi. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Well, I don't necessarily disagree. I'm just saying that would be defensively, that would be the one guy would be Ivan Rodriguez.
And when you're choosing between Hall of Famer versus Hall of Famer, that's a good choice.
That would be the difference between watching Yadi and Rodriguez defensively. Pudge is so quick. Like, Yadi's a great defensive catcher. He's a lot smoother than Pudge was. Pudge was just fast, when it comes to his reactions.
Well, and the thing about Yadi, you combine the arm with the ability to block the balls in the dirt.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you see it all the time with a runner on third base, bounce that slider in there.
Yeah.
I will block it. It doesn't matter. And that gives pitchers so much confidence.
He doesn't block so much anymore, if you notice.
Like, a little bit older, David.
Yeah, he's not so quick to block, and he'll pick the balls out of the dirt, which is almost more impressive.
It is. That's right. So Cards Cubs today, 12:20 on AM 1540 and FM 106. Now they picked up a nice win last night, did the Redbirds, and lo and behold, they're 18-12.
Hey.
Now, 11-12 minus the Reds.
Yeah.
Just put that out there because, well, you have to, because the Reds stink.
People keep bringing that up.
I know. Those pesky facts and details.
Hey, the Reds are still a major league team.
They are?
I think so.
Would you make, you know the minor leagues pretty well, David.
Mm-hmm.
Would you make the case that the Cardinals' Memphis club perhaps has a little brighter future than the Cincinnati Major League club?
That's a good question. I thought you were going to ask me if Memphis could beat Cincinnati. I don't think that.
No, I don't know.
But if the Memphis future is brighter, as of right now, probably.
Yeah.
Based on who's down there. Because Cincinnati's major league club doesn't have a lot of upside.
No,
like,
no, it doesn't.
The guys that are on their roster that are so young, the upside isn't there. If you extend it to their minors, then maybe, but gosh, the guys on their current run, I mean, Joey Votto is, what, 33, 34?
Yeah. He's up there.
No. Yeah, I would say Memphis probably has the brighter future
than
the Cincinnati Reds major league team.
Brutal.
Because Memphis's pitching staff is phenomenal right now.
I mean, it's a low major league staff.
And they have, like, four guys who could be major league outfielders down there.
They are stockpiled with talent.
They are. They got a good problem right now.
It's a good problem to have.
Yeah.
Absolutely. This is Sports Saturday on WSMI FM 106. Yesterday, the Macoupin County Track and Field Meet was held at Carlinville. North Mac won the girls' championship. Carlinville took home the boys' crown. We will talk about that, and we'll also get into high school baseball when Sports Saturday returns following these messages.
Back to Sports Saturday here on WSMI, and we rejoin Tim Mize.
David Jenkins, thank you very much, and we're hopefully going to be able to catch up with Staunton head coach Kyle McBrain here later on in the show as he picked up his career win 100 the other day for the Staunton Bulldogs, and Staunton having a very strong year. They beat Pena yesterday 11-0 as Nick Yates went 5 innings, 6 hits, 6 walks, or excuse me, 6 strikeouts and a walk in Kyle McBrain's 100th career victory. That's a lot of baseball wins when you figure how many games get rained out in a given year. Very well done by Kyle McBrain. Elsewhere across the baseball diamond yesterday, Southwestern beat Hillsboro 8-7. Ben Lois was 2-for-3 with 3 RBIs for Southwestern. Carthendale beat Roxana by the final of 9-1. Kyle Dixon went the distance, 7 innings, giving just 1 hit, struck out 11, and walked just 1. Vandalia knocked off Gillespie by the final of 7-2 as Matthew Wells picked up the win, 6 innings, 2 runs, 5 hits, struck out 8, and walked just 3. Morrisonville, they beat Arthur Okaw Christian by the final of 10-2. Elsewhere, Jacksonville downed Taylorville 5-4. Pleasant Plains over Stanford Olympia 5-2. Chatham Glenwood beat Highland 1-0. Granite City over Jersey 7-4. Columbia beat Triad 4-2. Alton Marquette over Wood River 8-3. And Civic Memorial topped Freeburg by the final of 11-0. And we're happy to be joined on the phone right now by Staunton head baseball coach Kyle McBrain. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you?
Hey, we're doing great today. And, Coach, congratulations. Career victory number 100. Just kind of take us through the day and what it was like.
Well, we had to go to Pena yesterday, which is our longest trip of the year. And we were playing to clinch at least a share of the South Central Conference. So we got over there and took care of business and got it done. So we were happy.
Kyle, you guys have taken care of business a lot this year. Kind of just talk about your club as a whole. Very powerful Bulldog squad.
Yeah, we have 3 seniors that have really showed up this year, along with some juniors and some young guys that have really stepped up, and just it's all kind of come together. We're pretty deep in pitching and play some good defense, so that's kind of what it takes.
You're exactly right, Colin, especially at the high school level. If you have pitching depth and can catch the ball, you're going to have success.
Yeah, that's one thing that we knew going in is that we're going to have a lot of arms and just some experience. Even our, you know, our sophomores played a lot last year. So pitching and defense is definitely what gets it done. And our lineup's been pretty tough as well.
And I know I've heard a lot of things this year about Silas Cox. Just talk a little bit about your freshman.
Yeah, I've had a lot of people say, "Are you sure he's a freshman?" he doesn't look like it, and he definitely doesn't play like it. So he's been huge. He stepped in a spot where, you know, we had a hole at first base. We graduated a senior last year, and you know, my assistant coach Cal and I had a conversation early on saying, you know, can we really bat a freshman in the 3-hole? And Coach Cal said, after seeing him take about 10 swings, yep, we sure can.
And Kyle, I guess that, you know, that's such a key to coaching is you have to recognize the talent and not get caught up what age they are or what class they're in. If you can play, you're going to play.
Yeah, and I think especially in baseball, you can kind of get away with that. And football and basketball, it's a little different where, you know, maturity and speed and that sort of stuff. But Cy played as a freshman football and basketball as well at the varsity level. So he's a unique kid, and we're going to be happy with him over the next 3 years.
Yep, no question about that. And Kyle, this was a strong year for the South Central Conference in terms of baseball. A lot of good teams in there.
Yeah, we knew going in, you know, when I was asked who we thought some of the favorites were, you know, obviously you look at Southwestern every year, Coach Hanslow just gets it done. And then Coach Hutchinson over in Greenville, and I knew Hillsboro was going to be a sneaky team. They were similar to us where, you know, we were kind of both young last year and got a lot of experience. So, yeah, pretty tough from top to bottom when Gillespie's throwing Bernat. You know, they can be tough. So, yeah, it's a lot deeper than maybe some people thought.
And Kyle, I know that when you're coaching high school athletics like you are multiple sports, you don't make it all about yourself. But I'm telling you, man, you had quite the year. The resurgence of the Lady Bulldogs and the basketball diamond, and now this great spring with the baseball team. You're having a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's the girls' basketball thing. It was definitely a process. We kind of preached that from the start. Mm-hmm. That was a lot of fun. But as far as baseball goes, since we've had them, these guys just play baseball all the time. They work on their own, so I can't take a whole lot of credit for that.
Well, you had something to do with it, Kyle. Believe you me, you had something to do with it. Are you in Bethalto today or taking on CM?
Yes, we are actually warming up as we speak.
What do you know about Civic Memorial? They're a bigger school, obviously.
Yeah, they play a really tough schedule. Last I saw, they had won 15 or 16 games. So we know they're going to be competitive, and we're gonna give it a shot.
Absolutely. Kyle, we'll let you get back to your infield and warm-ups. Thank you for a few minutes of your time today. Congratulations on your 100th career win, and best of luck down the road, sir.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Kyle McBrain, the head coach of the Staunton Bulldogs. And, David, we always appreciate every coach when they give us time on Saturday mornings, but especially in the springtime with the baseball and the softball coaches, because generally they have a 10 o'clock game, and like Kyle said, we're getting ready to take infield.
Yeah, I called him, and he's like, well, we're getting ready to take infield in 15 minutes. Well, we'll talk to you for as long as we can.
And that's why, I mean, for so many reasons, we are so lucky with the people that we get to deal with day in, day out here at WSMI. We cover so many different schools, but no matter what town we're in, what school we are at, we deal with nothing but class.
Oh, yeah.
Across
Absolutely.
The board.
And, you know, another coach who reached a milestone in terms of victories this week, Brian Pisco at Nokomis. I think it was 500. It was either 300 or 500.
Well, a little difference there, David.
I know.
A little difference there.
I know. I feel like it was 500, but I think I saw both at one point in time. There might have been a typo on one of them. So.
That's a bad typo.
It is a bad typo. But so congratulations to him for whichever milestone he reached. But he did reach a milestone this week.
He's been at Nokomis a long, long time.
Yeah. You know, that's the Witt Speed Boys, I believe, at one point.
And that's one of those programs, David, that you just know they're going to be there. At the end, they're always one of the last local teams left standing. And poor Pisco, he's had nothing but a bad stretch of luck in the playoffs. It's one of, like some baseball always happens to Nokomis in the regional or the sectional. Just something. I mean, they lost the regional game on a bad obstruction call a few years ago. Just you never know what's going to happen in a baseball game, and funny things happen. But they seem to always happen to Brian Pisco and Nokomis late in a postseason.
You know, that's right. And I don't understand how some of these coaches are so good. Like sometimes, you know, even when the talent is not, you don't think the talent is there, and they're still that good.
That's, like you said, that's why they're good coaches.
I know.
It's the old saying, I will take your guys and beat you with my guys.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll play you with my guys and crush you.
Yeah.
You know, that's coaching.
Right.
You know, when you're consistently good. Think about Brian Hanslow at Southwestern. Consistently there. But it's all, you know, teaching the fundamentals, whether it's basketball, football, or probably more so in baseball and in softball. Fundamentals. If you're not fundamentally sound, like you heard Kyle McBrain talk about, they play defense.
Right.
If you're kicking the ball around, it's going to be a long, long day.
No, that's exactly right. And I mean, you mentioned it with Hanslow. I mean, the one thing I've been most impressed about watching Southwestern ever since I've been broadcasting is they won't necessarily wow you, but boy, do they not make mistakes.
You're going to have to beat them.
Right.
They are not going to give you the game.
Right. They'll take a walk the first batter of the game, bunt the guy over two bases, and score.
That's exactly right. That's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
You know, that's how baseball is meant to be played, whether it's high school all the way up to the big leagues. The ball is meant to be put in play.
Right.
And I remember last week, we were talking about Albert earlier. He did an interview with Alex Rodriguez for ESPN Sunday Night Baseball, which the Cards and Cubs will be on tomorrow night. But he talked about his proudest, what he considers to be his best accomplishment, is in 2006 when he hit 49 home runs and struck out 50 times.
Yeah.
50 times with 49 home runs. But he made the point that we have made on this show a number of times, David. People who say the strikeout is just another out are wrong.
Right.
And he talked about it. When you hit a ground ball to shortstop, you put pressure on the defense. If you strike out, there is no pressure on the defense. And,
right.
You know, Albert in his heyday, that is what made him so tough. You're not going to strike the man out.
No, that's exactly right. And that has become frustrating with watching Major League Baseball sometimes is there's so many strikeouts used to mean something from
right.
a pitcher standpoint.
They don't
anymore.
It's like passing yards in the NFL.
Yeah.
Who cares if you threw for 4,000 yards?
Right.
You can't play any defense.
Right. Yeah. I mean, Clayton Kershaw reached 300 strikeouts a couple years ago, which hadn't happened in like a decade, and it's not an impressive feat anymore.
It's not when nobody has a two-strike approach.
Right.
When you're not, you hear the stories about back in the day. There were guys down in the minor leagues hitting 50 home runs, but they were striking out over 100 times, so they never got the call up.
Yeah.
Because you got to put the bat on the ball. I don't care if you're hitting 50 home runs.
Yeah. Sadly, that's where the game has gone.
That's the way it has gone. But back to what we were talking about initially, when you watch these high school teams that are able to execute mm-hmm. consistently, that is fun to watch.
Right. And that's where, you know, we've talked about, is on-base percentage overrated? Is it not? At the high school level, it's not because, I mean, just get on base.
No, that's exactly
getting on base is what you need to do.
Yeah, we talked about that a couple weeks ago, and I don't think I was real clear about my point. On-base percentage to me is overrated in the big leagues.
Yes.
Like when Matt Carpenter's hitting .170, don't tell me his on-base percentage is .330. I don't care. He's hitting .170.
Right.
But at the high school level, you're exactly right. We need base runners. Doesn't matter how you get there, just get there.
Right, because anything can happen at the high school level.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Just don't beat yourself.
That's the key. Yeah. No, you know, no matter the sport, no matter the level. If you cannot beat yourself, you're going to win a lot of games over a long period of time.
The most consistently good teams, I mean, they don't make mistakes.
May not be flashy.
Yeah. They don't beat themselves.
Don't beat themselves. That's exactly right. Hey, we need to get to another break here on Sports Saturday. When we come back, I have in my hand the results from the Macoupin County track and field meet. We'll do that next.
The appropriate place for the music.
There we go. That's it.
Back to Sports Saturday here on WSMI, and I understand we have a clarification thanks to Steve Johnson.
Our buddy Steve Johnson, 500 baseball wins for Brian Pisco in his 27 years, and that includes his time at Witt, by the way. But you said, I saw 300. That's because he has 300 JV basketball wins.
Okay. Gotcha.
So the man has won a lot over
his
career. Yes.
Victorious. He's over 500. I assume he's over 500. I would think he's over 500.
Yeah.
He's not Jeff Fisher, where he's like one of the winningest coaches and also the losingest coach.
But hey, he's responsible for Jared Goff there.
He is?
Oh, that's what he said.
He is? I know. Yeah.
He's a big deal, David.
We knew that offense was going to kick in eventually.
It was just a matter of time.
It just took 7 years.
That's right. It was a 7-year plan.
That's right. I had to tear down the roster, build it up, and tear it down again.
Yesterday, the Macoupin County track and field meet was held. This is obviously always a big day in the county, and it takes a long time to get through this meet with all the schools and all the events. Carthenville is your boys' county champion. North Mac is your girls' county champion, as Staunton finished second in the girls, Southwestern third. Carthenville came in fourth, followed by Gillespie in Bunker Hill. On the boys' side, mentioned Carthenville, your champs, followed by Southwestern and Staunton. North Mac was fourth, Gillespie fifth, and Bunker Hill finished sixth. As we look at some of the individual results here, in the long jump, Will Walton was your county champion out of Carthenville on the boys' side. Allie Kallenbach was the girls' long jump champion from North Mac. In the high jump, Jaden Cole of North Mac was your county champion. And in the boys' high jump, Michael Douglas from Carthenville won the county. In the shot put, to the surprise of no one, David, Daniel Card won the shot put, and he won the discus.
Bloodlines.
Bloodlines. Genetics matter, David. Genetics are real, and they matter. So congratulations to Daniel Card, as he is a dual county champ in both the shot and the discus. In the girls' discus, Macy Walker of Carthenville took home the county championship, and Lauren Sullivan from North Mac was the shot put champion on the girls' side. In the girls' triple jump, Jaden Broadmeyer of Gillespie, your county champion. The boys' triple jump saw Will Walton of Carthenville take home the crown. And this event, David, has always fascinated me, the triple jump. That is a fun one to watch. Very hard to do, very neat to watch.
I imagine it takes a lot of coordination for that.
I'd trip over myself running down the track for that one. In the pole vault, that one's always terrified me.
Yeah.
Now, anybody decides, you know what I want to do? I want to get this long stick, stick it in the ground, and then wind up at the top of the
stick. Launch myself into the air.
Launch and then fall over onto a mat.
Yeah. Well, everyone wants to do that.
Who doesn't?
It's fun.
I bet it would be. It would be fun if you could do it.
Yeah. Boy, what's the practicing like for that?
I don't know.
How terrifying is that?
It's like the people who practice, like the people who do like the flips, like on the four-wheelers and the snowmobiles, you know, they practice like in the big foam pits first to learn these tricks.
Do they do that at the high school level? Because I don't imagine a lot of these high schoolers have foam pits.
Well, they're landing on a mat, though.
What if you can't get to the mat? What if you fall backwards?
That's a problem. A gust. A wind gust.
Exactly.
Emma Smith is your pole vault champion out of Carthenville, and Isaac Doherty of Carthenville won the boys' pole vault championship. And the 4x800-meter relay on the girls' side, Staunton took home first, followed by Carthenville and North Mac. In the boys' 4x800, Carthenville finished first, North Mac second, and Staunton third. In the 4x100-meter relay, North Mac on the girls' side took home the championship, Staunton second, Southwestern third. The boys' 4x100-meter relay saw Southwestern win the county championship. Staunton came in second. North Mac placed third. In the 3,200-meter run, that's 2 miles, Lydia Roller of Staunton was your county champion. And Lydia, she won the mile, the 3,200. Of course, she was big in the cross country as well. In the boys' 3,200-meter run, Caden Bone of Southwestern, your county champ. In the girls' 100-meter hurdles, Miranda Mata of Staunton is your county champ. In the boys' 110-meter hurdles, Trent Bertelsmann of Bunker Hill, your county champ. In the 100-meter dash for the girls, Haley Swick of North Mac, the county champ, as she finished with a time of 13.57, just outlasting Robbie Ossendorf of Bunker Hill by 0.2 seconds. In the boys' 100-meter dash, Carson Rantanen of Staunton, your county champ, he came in with a time of 11.13. In the girls' 800-meter run, Lydia Roller of Staunton, your county champ there. In the boys' 800 meters, it was Jason Landon of Carthenville, then Jacob Landon of Carthenville came in second, 0.4 behind. In the 4x200-meter relay for the girls, North Mac, your county champ, Staunton finished second, Southwestern came in third. In the boys' 4x200-meter relay, Southwestern finished first, followed by North Mac and Staunton. In the 400-meter dash, Rory Drew of Carthenville is your girls' county champ. She came in just over a minute .41. And in the boys' 400-meter dash, Hayden Nixon of Southwestern came in first with a time of 52.85. In the 300-meter hurdles on the girls' side, Sabrina Burns of Southwestern, your county champ, and Trent Bertelsmann of Bunker Hill won the boys' 300 meters at the Macoupin County track meet. In the 1,600-meter run, Lydia Roller of Staunton, your county champ, so she got the 800, the 1,600, and the 3,200 yesterday for Lydia Roller. In the boys' 1,600, it was Caden Bone of Southwestern coming in first, Grant Seneker, his teammate, from Southwestern, placed second. In the girls' 200-meter dash, Ava Ossendorf of Bunker Hill. She beat out Abby Barber of Gillespie by 0.2 seconds, as Ava came in with a time of 28.31. In the boys' 200-meter dash, E.J. Call of Southwestern, your county champ. He ran a time of 22.98. In the 4x400-meter relay on the girls' side, North Mac finished first, followed by Carthenville and Southwestern. In the boys, 4x400, it was Carthenville first, North Mac second, and Staunton finished third. So that is what happened yesterday at the Macoupin County Track Meet. Again, North Mac, your girls champion, Carthenville, your boys champion. And, you know, I'm always amazed, David, like when you see, you can only go so fast. You know, like a human being can only move so fast. And when you see the 100 meter dash time, it was 11.13 for Carson Rantanen of Staunton. That's fast. Right. And you think about, like, Usain Bolt, like the fastest man in the world,
mm-hmm.
you know, he's sub 10.
Mm-hmm.
But it's always amazing to me. It's not even seconds, Matt.
Yeah.
Tenths
of
a second. How
much difference it makes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because you think, oh, he ran on 11.13.
Well, that's
Usain, slow. That's right. But you think, boy, just 1 second faster,
yeah.
and you're like, awesome. Like, worldly.
You're an Olympian.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
But it's like, oh, you just trim a second off.
Just a second.
Just a second.
Just a second.
Just get that second right off there.
Yeah.
But 11.13, that's an impressive time to me.
Oh, yeah.
That's fast.
That is quick.
That is fast.
Perhaps
so.
An Olympian in the future. Keep training at it.
Hey, Kelsey Card has given hope to all.
That's right. The spring sports are where our athletes kind of stand out.
Oh, you're David, that's a great point. Everybody, you know, gets all caught up in football. In basketball, and hey, I love both of those sports. They're
mm-hmm.
fantastic. But the odds are that people from our area are not going to be going beyond the high school level in football or basketball. There's exceptions to
right.
every rule, just
mm-hmm.
like in every aspect of life. But as a general rule, like you said, we have seen a lot of kids from this area get athletic scholarships to college in soccer,
mm-hmm.
in track and field, in baseball, in softball.
Yeah. That's where it's at.
That is where it's at. You're exactly right.
Breeding ground for those sports, essentially.
I mean, we've had a lot of high-level springtime athletes
mm-hmm.
in this area that have gone on to do great and amazing things. And it's just one of those unfortunate realities that just where it's placed on the calendar, a lot of times the spring sports kind of get put on the back burner. There's so much going on. In theory, the weather should be nice, which it finally was
yeah.
this week. But, you know, graduation comes up, and that's always the thing. Like, if you make a deep run in baseball or softball, school's out.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, seniors in spring sports really get the short end of the stick. I mean, if you want to accomplish something, you really have to get it done in your junior year, unless you were just insanely dedicated, because that senior year,
senioritis is real.
Yeah, and you're out of school even earlier if you're a senior than the other kids. So
the good thing about that, and I agree with you, but if you make that deep run, mm-hmm. once school's out, you're playing in the sectional final or the super sectional, so it's probably not that difficult.
Right.
But if we were still having regular season games. When school was out.
Yeah, but then if you're a senior, you know, you're eating into your time prepping for college.
True.
I mean, you thought you were done with school. Now you still have to do a school-based activity.
There was no homework, though.
Well, no. But it's still a commitment. Thought you were free of commitments for now.
Senioritis is real.
It is.
My senioritis kicked in about second semester junior year.
Yeah.
Mine
was earlier than that.
Earlier than that.
I was ready to be done by the time getting in high school. Wasn't much for school.
Now look at you.
Yeah. Now look at me. Take that as you want.
Cards Cubs today, 12:20 on AM 1540 and FM 106. Now we'll talk a little bit more about that here as the show rolls along. We do need to get to another break. And, of course, Terry is out today. This was a chemo treatment week for Terry, so he will be back on Monday. But when we come back from the break, a couple weeks ago, we were able to have a conversation leading up to Terry's benefit. We got Vern Pinkston, his longtime friend, and Dave Kane from the State Journal Register. We were able to get them both in studio and just kind of talk about Terry. Now, this is something that we played at his benefit, but we're going to bring you part of that conversation as Vern Pinkston and Dave Kane talk about Terry Toth following these messages.
back to Sports Saturday here on WSMI FM 106, and we rejoin Tim Mize.
Thank you very much, David Jenkins. Well, back in early April, we had a benefit for Terry at the Raymond Casey Hall. The event was awesome. Everybody involved did a phenomenal job, from the silent auction items to the catering to just the whole night as a whole. It was a fantastic evening. We were able to raise a good amount of money for Terry and his medical bills. And part of that evening, we had kind of a, I guess, an audio tribute, if you will, for Terry. Seemed fitting, since the man's been in radio for 40-plus years, to have a couple of people come in and talk about what kind of made Terry the man that he is, that so many people revere and respect across the area. So we had Vern Pinkston and Dave Kane in the studio, and this segment is going to start off with Dave Kane kind of talking about how Terry was destined to be a broadcaster.
He was probably just destined to be a broadcaster. You know, I don't know, I can't remember exactly when he said it really clicked, this is what I want to do. When he was in high school pretending to do play-by-play and stuff like that.
What's kind of funny obvious with that is he would broadcast the games. I would sit with him, and I always brought a notepad like in junior high, and I kept score. Uh-huh. So now I'm the scorekeeper. I've been the scorekeeper for years. Terry's a broadcaster. So
from a young age,
we knew what we were.
The rest is history.
The rest is history.
Yeah. Little did you know. Yeah.
Dave, I guess as a print journalism guy, and you're one of the best in the business, what is it about Terry from a sportscasting perspective when you're listening to him on the radio? I mean, there's something about the man when he's calling a game.
He has that enthusiasm, but still under control. I don't know if it was the first year or the second year the Nokomis girls won the state title. You know, at the end of it, Terry cut loose a little bit.
And, he cut loose a lot.
Well, okay, but I just remember specifically, and I can't remember if it was the first year or the second year. It's sort of like Jack Buck saying, go crazy,
right,
folks.
It is.
You know, just that right moment at that right time to, I'm going to, you know, have
thank
a little,
you, Molly.
I'm going to have a little fun here. I think a lot of broadcasters have, I don't want to say quirky, but just little trademark things. And I know one of the things he does for a basketball game, or maybe even football, instead of saying, we've got like a minute 20 to go in the whatever quarter, he'll say there's 80 seconds to go. You know, you can tick it down. I mean, that's just a little thing Terry has always done. If it's a close game, it's usually wild and woolly. Wow. Just that enthusiasm. He's never lost that.
Thing about listening to a game, when he's broadcasting a game, I find it easy to follow what's going on.
Right. You can kind of feel the tempo of the game.
Right.
Well, and I know he's always said, no numbers. You do not give a number on the air because grandma listening can't see the number. She wants to hear her kid's name. I remember when I started here, that was one of his big things. Never say number 23 has the ball. Who's number 23?
Right. He's 23.
So, I mean, I've learned so many things from him just watching the man broadcast over the years. And both of you guys know this, that in my opinion, what makes Terry isn't the greatness he has behind the microphone, and he's great. It's the way that he's treated people over the years, the way that he has given himself to the community over the years. No matter what the situation may be, if you call and ask Terry for something, he's going to help you out.
When you're talking about community, Terry, as far as the Raymond Park goes, like I say, when we played out there in this empty lot, and back in the early 1970s in Raymond, a bunch of community people decided to build a park there. After that, Terry has always been a big part of the park out there. He coached Pony League. If we needed an umpire, he would umpire baseball games. He umpired softball games. But he would, if you needed him to do something, he was always there to help the kids out. In the early days of soccer, he was probably the one that got the Raymond soccer program going with the very young kids. And then that kind of branched out to Nokomis, and then eventually Nokomis and Lincolnwood, the high school, they co-opted, and a lot of that was due to Terry and his promotion of the soccer program. Eventually, Terry became a member of the Raymond Park Board. He was on there, I think, for 24, 25 years, and he was always out there making sure the fields were clean, the restrooms were cleaned out, the fields were chalked. The soccer field had lines on it that were straight. You wouldn't find any soccer field that was lined any better than the one Terry Toad had taken care of. He was always real meticulous about how his paint jobs were on the soccer field and how the chalk job was on the baseball field. And he always took a tremendous amount of pride in the way the Raymond Park looked.
You're not going to find many small-town parks that look better than the Raymond.
Yeah. Right. I mean, that whole complex out there. I mean, the baseball field, the softball field, but the soccer field, that's...
It's his baby.
That's, I know, Terry, you know, he, well, somewhat jokingly said, that's my field.
Yeah.
You know, and but he takes personal pride in it. A lot of schools or communities, Raymond's or Lincolnwood size, won't host... I mean, Lincolnwood hosts like either a soccer regional or a soccer sectional or something just about every year.
It's consistent.
Because I think the IHSA knows it's a quality facility and the people there know what to do. And but Terry, I mean, obviously Lincolnwood High School has a lot to do, but Terry is a big reason behind that.
And that was just part of the conversation that we had with Dave Kane and Vern Pinkston probably about a month ago in the lead up to Terry's benefit. And as the month rolls along here, we'll bring you a little bit more of that conversation as well. But David, when you listen to those two men, you know, talk about Terry, I mean, you've worked with him long enough to know that that's all spot on.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Can't really say much more.
No, that's exactly right. They did such a good job of kind of encapsulating Terry.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, the point about the park is well taken. Terry loves that park.
It is his park. Yeah.
As he will affectionately refer to it. But I've heard the stories before about the first year that he did not chalk the soccer field.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody came in that had been there before, and they, what happened? Why are these lines not straight? What has gone on here? Well, Terry didn't do it. Oh.
Did you do it after that? Did you do it after that?
He might have, yeah. Yeah. So we certainly send our best wishes out to Terry as he is home today. He had his chemo this week, and he did come into work this week.
He did. Oh, yeah. He was the only day he missed completely was yesterday. He was just not out. He was here actually quite a bit on Thursday as well. He was here Wednesday morning, and then Thursday was here for probably most of the day.
You know the sports term, he's a gamer.
Yeah.
He's a gamer. Terry's a gamer.
Grinding out those shifts.
Absolutely. Just an impressive man.
Yes.
An impressive man. And we thank Vern and Dave for giving us some of their thoughts on Terry Tote. Cardinal baseball for you today, 1220 AM 1540 and FM 106.9. I don't know what Terry's told me before. He got his first transistor radio in 67, the year the Cardinals won the World Series.
How about that?
How about that? And of course, you know, they're honoring the 68 team throughout the season. This year, obviously, Bob Gibson's phenomenal, record-breaking, baseball-changing season that required them to lower the mound. But there was a lot going on with the Cardinals the last couple of days. You figure former Cardinal Albert Pujols gets his 3,000.
Mm-hmm.
They're playing the Cubs at Busch Stadium this weekend. And then they've announced the newest class of the Cardinals Hall of Fame. Vince Coleman is in.
I was surprised by that.
You were surprised by that. I was just going to say that's a no-brainer.
I was surprised just because I thought Scott Rolen would get in this year. I kind of knew Ray Lankford was going to get in. There was a huge there was a huge push to get him in. That was no surprise and well deserved. I was surprised Vince Coleman got in just because I thought, and maybe this is just me being a sign of the times, but I thought Scott Rolen would get in first.
That's because you're a millennial, Dave.
I know.
The Whitey era is the most revered era of Cardinal baseball ever. I mean, that's almost 30 years ago, and people still talk about it like it was last week. If he hadn't gotten caught by the tarp.
His most famous moment had nothing to do with the game.
Fastest man in sports got caught by a tarp going less than a mile an hour.
Irony. Irony.
Yes. Yeah. But you mentioned Ray Lankford, David. As a kid, he was my favorite Cardinal player. Love Ray Lankford. To me, in my opinion, one of the most underrated Cardinals ever, ever. You look at the numbers, he's up there. I mean, he's in all the major offensive categories, he's there.
Well, he unfortunately played in an era of Cardinals baseball that wasn't
he wasn't on good
successful.
Teams. Yes, that hurts him.
I mean, they started to succeed at the end of his Cardinals tenure. And
see, I remember in 96, their first year of La Russa, when Ray was their center fielder,
he tore
his rotator cuff and tried to play through it. And it's funny the things that you remember. Now I remember him saying,
career.
"Oh, it didn't help him." But I remember him saying, "I realized that my shoulder was hurt when I couldn't brush my teeth." But yeah, that's that's a problem.
Yeah.
That's a problem.
Unfortunately, I started following Cardinals baseball after Ray's Ray was done pretty much.
Yeah.
My memory of Ray Lankford is 2004.
You remember number
I remember number 12, Ray Lankford.
I told you that this morning. I got so mad when on like the front of the Cardinals page on MLB.com, they had, you know, the three guys that made it, and the other guy was an old timer back in the 40s.
Brasheen, I think.
But they, for some reason, the picture they have of Ray Lankford is him wearing number 12. What is wrong with you?
That's not right.
That is, no, it's not right. It's offensive. That would be like if you had a picture of Albert and you put his spring training number from his rookie year on there.
Or Matt Holliday wearing number 15.
There you go. Exactly right. Lankford is number 16. Number 16, not number 12. It's number 16.
Yeah. Although I guess Matt Holliday had more of an impact at 15 than Ray Lankford did at 12 with jersey numbers.
That's probably true.
Yeah. Because Holliday was actually great when he came over for half a season with the Cardinals.
Yeah, the number 12, Ray, would not be a Cardinal Hall of Famer.
Didn't he homer in his last game?
Lankford?
Yeah. Sounds like he did.
Sounds right. See, I believe, I didn't look this up, but if my recall is correct, he has the most home runs at Busch Stadium, too. I think that is correct.
You might be right. I don't know.
But he was just a great player, so I'm very happy that he's going into the Cardinals Hall of Fame.
Well, there was a lot made about it last year because I don't think he was a candidate last year.
Which is outrageous.
Right. So a lot of fans were like, get him on the ballot.
I was thinking about this last night because I don't know when this started, maybe it was the new stadium, whenever they started rolling out the National Baseball Hall of Famers and the Red Jackets on opening day. I thought that's really cool. That's neat. But now the last couple of years, they're rolling out all the Cardinal Hall of Famers and Red Jackets.
Yeah.
Are they going to continue to do this? Because there's going to be too many of them. It loses this. If you got 60 people up there, that's just lame. Like when you had Stan the Man, Bob Gibson, Lou Brock, and Red Shane Dinks and Whitey standing up there, that's baseball history. That's awesome. That's really cool. But I don't need to see all the... That, to me, is not the place for all these Cardinal Hall of Famers, to have them all up there at home plate. To me, that reeks of, not desperation, but
elitism.
Almost, in a way, it's like, people know you're great.
Yeah.
You know? Like, the existing Cardinals don't need to shake the hand. No, I love Jim Edmonds. They don't need to be shaking Jim Edmonds' hand on opening day at home plate. They just don't. It's unnecessary. You know? Bob Gibson? Yes. Red? Yes.
Ted Simmons is on there. And
yeah,
he's borderline. He's borderline. Arguably should be a Hall of Famer.
But he's not.
No, he's not.
But he's not.
Yeah.
I just, where does it stop? Because this Hall of Fame is, like,
well, it's not stopping.
The first couple of years it made sense. I understood it when the first class is okay. But are they going to have them lined up all the way down the third baseline and the first baseline, all these Hall of Famers at some point?
Well.
Where does it end?
Unfortunately, a lot of the actual baseball Hall of Famers aren't going to be alive in a few years.
I understand that, and I think that's what they're trying to do, but it's going to be too many. And maybe they've got a plan. Maybe they'll just have, each year they'll rotate, have a group of five or six that come down and do it. But if it gets to a point where they've got every single person who's in the Cardinals Hall of Fame down there at home plate on opening day, I don't know.
You know, honestly, in maybe like 15 years, 15, 20 years, you might have three baseball Hall of Famers alive for the Cardinals. I mean, Ozzie Smith will be one, probably.
Forget about it. How can I forget Ozzie?
What are you doing?
Someone slap me.
Stop the show.
What is wrong with me?
Ozzie will be there.
My gosh.
And then Albert will be there. And then perhaps Yachty.
Perhaps Yachty.
There's still a debate.
There's a big debate
this weekend. I'm not kidding because it's a poll question on Sunday Night Baseball on ESPN. Is Yachty a Hall of Famer?
Oh, that's going to be the poll question?
Mm-hmm. It's already started, yeah.
What are the results?
I haven't checked.
I'm going to say 70-30, yes.
This is all Twitter, too. Like, all of Twitter, not just Cardinal Twitter. This is all of Twitter.
No.
This is, like, national.
It's fake news
day. It's not fake. It's just, it's what is the entire, you know, baseball fan sphere.
It'll be an interesting poll.
Yeah. So.
But we know where he's going.
Probably. But the point I'm making, though, assuming Yachty gets in, that's three guys, because I'm assuming, you know, maybe Lou Brock and Red Shane Dinks and Bob Gibson all won't still be walking the
earth
at that
but
time.
But, yeah, to me it's a lot better if years from now if you got Ozzie, Albert, and Yachty. If those are the three out there, that's great. But then if you got those three, and 65 Cardinals Hall of Famers? I don't know.
Well, maybe, I don't know about 65.
At some point, there will be 65 people in there.
Yeah.
At some point.
You think about it, the Cardinals don't have a lot of Hall of Famers post-80s, like National Hall of Famers.
Well, it's hard to get people into the Baseball Hall of Fame.
I know, but like pre-1980, there were a lot more. Post-80 to now, good grief. Handful?
Probably a handful more than a lot of teams have, though.
Yeah, no, that's right.
Hey,
we're about out of time.
We're out of time. We want to thank Kyle McBrain for joining us this morning. Congratulations on career win number 100. Congratulations to Brian Pisco on career win number 500. Cards, Cubs this afternoon, 1220 AM, 1540, and FM 106.9. For David, I'm Tim. Sports Saturday is done on your 50,000-watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois, WQSMI, FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carbondale, and Greenville.